being Kesed Asor in Seres Yimei Tshuva. And a primary avoda, primary focus that a person has during a Seres Yimei Tshuva is how to do a cheshbon nefesh and how to prepare oneself in the challenging work to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Yom Kippur. And the reason why it's challenging is because when it comes to the halachas of Yom Kippur, then it's very clear where to go. You have a Mishnah Berurah, you look up in the Mishnah Berurah. If you have a halachic question, there's a posik, you can go to the posik and get a very clear answer. When it comes to the inner work of Yom Kippur, then a person finds himself stranded in the sense of, like, what do I do and how do I do it? And no book in the world is your inner guidebook of who you are. And when you just start reading through the list of al-chaits, then you say, yeah, kind of that one not, that one yes. It's just, it becomes like a very external list of things. And if a person has thought of it well beforehand, he has a chance of feeling a sense of regret. If he hasn't thought of himself well beforehand, when he gets that list of the al-chaits, it'll just be kind of a checklist. And then very external and very challenging to work with. In the sixth perek of Shaar Tshuva in Chovos HaLevavos, he writes there are four catalysts of tshuva. A general person wouldn't do tshuva. A general person will be content with the level that he's at. A person has a natural sense of wanting to be happy with who he is, continuing the path that he's already begun. It's unnatural for a person to want to take a change of life. He's more likely to want to be consistent with who he was until now. So what will be the factors that would cause a person to change? So he lists four reasons. Today we're only going to discuss the first one. So the first reason is where a person who has to be a thinking individual contemplates the life that he has, contemplates his own self-worth, and recognizes that he can expand beyond that. Or recognizes that he's disappointed with his not fulfilling his own potential. It came purely from within. It came purely from his own contemplation and recognition. That, he says, is the highest level. After that comes a lower level where someone outside of him came and was telling him off and rebuking him, which that has very low chance of working in general. But it could be that that would be a transformational point if he hears a criticism done in a healthy, constructive way from someone who he respects. It didn't come from within him, it came from someone outside. If that person is loving and cares for him and does it in a constructive way, it could be that that will also be a catalyst for him to want to change. The third level is an even lower level, where a person sees things are happening around him which function as tochacha. He sees someone had an accident, and that causes him to be jolted out of his reality and say, what would happen if that would happen to me? Those kinds of things could happen to anyone. And then that kind of an incident makes him reassess who he is. And the fourth one is where he himself goes through tragedy. That one is often the most poignant, where a person himself goes through some life-changing event. A couple get divorced, the person loses a child, that's on a big scale. Where a person then stops and reanalyzes everything that's important to him and what he stands for. That's often one of the most powerful ones. That often is the most effective ones. But it was all the way at the end of the spectrum. And it didn't work that he recognized himself, it didn't work that someone else told him, it didn't work that he got the message from the experience using someone else's experience, but rather he had to experience on his own flesh challenge, and only through the challenge that he experienced on his own flesh, then he was able to say, it's time for me to make a change. It's advisable to do the change in the first step, and not wait for stage 2, 3, and 4 to have an effect on you. On that first one, the Chovos HaLevavos writes, Gorem Aichad, the first cause of change is the following. Hadam Bali de Hakara Chazaka, Kama Gadol Umormam Hu Hashem. The person starts contemplating the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He contemplates the world around him and his relationship with Hashem. He starts recognizing all the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him, and he recognizes it for what it is, that it's a gift that he doesn't deserve. He moves out of his sense of entitlement, and he starts to pay a deep attention and awareness of, I was recently in someone's home, and this particular individual is still a Baal Tshuva, and grew up in a Jewish but totally not religious environment, and even got married, they still weren't religious. And only when they started having children and they started contemplating which school they wanted to send their children to, and their children were currently at that time at a good ethical Christian school, which was the local school that they had in their neighborhood, and they suddenly started, they heard their child come home and quote something not from the Old Testament. And they said, Hashem Yishmor, what are we doing? How are we educating our children to quote that? What is going on? And that caused them to do a self-contemplation. It wasn't suffering, but it was just a self-contemplation. But they suddenly realized their value system was being aligned with a foreign culture very distant to their own. And that led them to move town, to a neighborhood, into a more religious neighborhood, switch their children to schools. And I'm friendly with their son, which is why I was there. I'm friendly with their son. And their son learns in yeshiva and was in avrech and is now working and learning part-time. And is an Erlich Hayid, and he's one of four children who are all religious Jews. And that came through a sense of inner contemplation. A contemplation of what is my value system? Is this value system going in the way that I want it to go? And what was amazing about the way that he spoke was his appreciation in an almost very simplistic way for the basics of religious life. Something which I just take for granted and don't really contemplate, unfortunately. But for him, just the idea of a religious education for your children was so amazing to him. He was in a sense of wonderment of like, what a gift it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us religious education. Now, I'm very, very, very grateful for the education that my children got, but I'm not in a state of wonderment about it. It's not something which unless I choose to contemplate, it's not something that I always think about. And a person on this level is someone who chooses to contemplate of the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given him, and he comes to a sense of tshuva through becoming aware and having an amazement about the state of life that he's in, which is something that which we are entitled, we have a sense of entitlement and take for granted and miss out on. And only when we're given that slap across the face will we realize that it doesn't necessarily have to be that way, and then you reflect back on how amazing it is. This often happens to people after they leave yeshiva. It does happen to people that when they're in yeshiva, they have a good time, maybe mediocre time, maybe amazing time, but it's not in the sense of in wonderment of like how special it is to be in yeshiva. And then when they leave yeshiva and they're reflecting back, it also depends where they go on to. If they go into an environment which is quite similar to yeshiva, then it's less. But if they go into an environment which is not similar to yeshiva, and then they suddenly reflect back and they're saying, why didn't I take the opportunities of going to all those different shiurim that they were available to me? And now I would live. I was going to say I would die, but that would be unhealthy. I would live. So I say to my tshuva, chai, zachein l'chaim. So I would live to go to one of those shiurim now. Why was I going out at 6 o'clock and just standing outside and talking to friends? Like, I wish I would have those extra 15 minutes to be learning Torah. Like, now that those extra 15 minutes are my life, if I would only have them, I'm like trying to find those minutes. And there I just like let them pass. Contemplation. So I'll say in my own language, he's someone who you can compare to someone who had a loyal, devoted master, someone who was always good to him, always cared for him. Maybe if we would make a parallel for our world, let's say you were in a school where you had a Rebbe, and this Rebbe was someone who like really cared about his Talmud, was someone like exceptionally devoted. He was empathetic to them, understood them, was always out there going beyond his means to them, and was this Talmud was acting age appropriately for a 15, 16 year old and wanting to take off time and wanting to rebel a little bit. And although his Rebbe was very, very devoted, he would like speak in an accusing manner to his Rebbe, and he would sometimes speak in a way that was offensive to his Rebbe. And his Rebbe was mochel, his Rebbe was such a good-hearted, natured person, but the Talmud nevertheless was getting into fights with him and ran away from and stopped going to school for a time period. And then suddenly he hits himself. He says, like, my Rebbe really cares for me. My Rebbe is a good person. My Rebbe just wanted to do what's best for me. Like, what was I doing running away from school, wasting time outside of school? Why was I antagonistic towards him? And then he, through contemplation, he says he wants to go back. He chooses of his own accord to go back. And the Rebbe is, like, happy to see him, accepting him lovingly. And about that, the Pasuk says, Shuvu alai v'ashuva alechem. And the to understand the pasuk, Kolomar, Im tashuv Yisrael miratzoncha hatov lifnei shtekabel onesh. If a person of his own accord starts being aware of he has tremendous opportunity to be close, and he turns around and he says, Rebbe, can I come into the class? The Rebbe will accept him with open hands. Elai tashuv. He comes directly back. Az yikabel tshuvatech ve'evchor b'cha hashuv la'avodoti. Ve'im esir shikutzecha mipanai ve'lo tanud ve'lo tazuz ma'avodoti. Ve'nishbat acha Hashem emet mishpat u'tzedakah.
So
the person goes off the derech, they separate from school, for a long period of time, they get involved in a lot of negative things, their process of coming back is going to be having to like take out thorns and trying to like reanalyze who are they and what do they believe in and trying to get all these thoughts that they did and things out of their mind. And their process of coming back will be very challenging. But if after they've left, they decide it's important to me to come back, and they do three things. Tasir shikutzecha mipanayim, v'lo tanud v'nishba Hashem elokecha, they recognize, they wish to remove themselves from the negativity. They recognize that this is the path they want to go on, and they're devoted to it, and they devote themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, willing to follow the halacha, willing to go back into the school system, and then they have a chance of being loved again, successful again. I'm closing this now, and I'm moving over to this page. If there's enough for one each, then you're welcome to take, otherwise one between two. You can always photocopy yourselves. This is a page that I put together because I'm aware that during this time period, people feel, in a sense, hopeless and abandoned. And I want to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I don't know exactly how to do it. And I need guidance. And you could sit with every person and go through their inner kishkas, but there are certain things that they're not even willing or happy to share. And it's something which they have to do their own avodah themselves. And the goal of these questions are questions which each of them are not one-word answers. Each of them are a couple of paragraphs. And the goal of these questions is they cause you to think more deeply about your inner world. None of them are negative. None of them are a list of averas that you did. They're all a deeper understanding of yourself. And I want to go through them quickly, just to clarify each one, that we can have a clear understanding. If a person takes off time to fulfill the mitzvah of Lifnei Hashem Titaru, before Hashem Titaru, meaning before you get to a stage of Yom Kippur, where at the last minute you're trying to figure out what am I supposed to be doing now, but rather you've already gone through your own inner world and you've got an understanding of who you are and what you stand for and what you believe in and what your path of growth is, then you can stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a true, authentic, genuine manner with an understanding of who you are, and the chetz can be more realistic because you know where you're off the path, you know where you're on the path. So number one and two are list times when you like yourself most and why, and list times when you like yourself least and why. Why means, not why in the intellectual sense, but rather why meaning give examples of it and try to understand like what's bothering you there. When people go to a natural place of either A, arrogance, I'm perfect, or B, self-depreciation, I'm worthless. But when you... So there's a healthy self-esteem and there's an unhealthy self-esteem. The healthy one is where you still have, if you notice which one came first, right? Like yourself most comes before like yourself least. It's important that it's in that order. If you have a recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you and He's on the same team as you and you're working together to come close, and you're also aware that you have things that are holding you back, but you don't attribute them to your inner core self, but rather you see them as barriers between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, things which are bothering you in your path of getting there, then you're able to at the same time recognize there's faults, but at the same time not say, that's the essence of who I am. Self-esteem is where you recognize your inner core is good, whilst at the same time you've got a lot of need of improvement, but your inner core still remains good. Self-depreciation is where you attribute those negativities to your inner core. Say, that's just who I am. That's just my essence. Nothing I can do about that. Our path in tshuva is to recognize your inner core is close and good to Hashem. Like we say every morning in davening, Eloka in neshama shatata b'torahi, my essence is pure, that can never be affected. But surrounding me there's a lot of negativity which I'm trying to learn how to remove from myself. That's the difference between the two. So number one is, it's very important in the process of tshuva not to give labels. Not to give just general, I am bad, I am lazy. Because those things don't help you at all in your growth. Because they just become stuck to you with a label where, how are you supposed to overcome that? You have to list specific times when you like yourself most, which are from the present time, not from when I was 14 years old. Sometimes people hold on to false beliefs of themselves from the past, which they still have this tag, this label of themselves, this identity of themselves being an angry person, being a lazy person, whatever it is. And when they say, well, give me three examples from the recent past, like, you know, from the last month or two, where you've seen that expressed, and they can't think of anything from the recent past, and they suddenly realize, you know, I used to be lazy, but that was months, that was years ago. Just very recently, 2 years ago, there was someone who I was discussing this topic with, and I have an advantage in a sense that I'm able to see people outside of the sitting face to face. I see them in the whole yeshiva interaction, and that gives a lot of ability to see the more full picture of the person. So this person said how he's ashamed of other people and embarrassed of other people, and he doesn't like speaking to others in public, like a whole, like on that path. And I distinctly remember this person on a Shabbaton, standing on a chair and leading all of the overseas program in a song. And it was totally out of character from the way he was describing himself. And so I said to him, is it correct that I remember you doing this business? And he was very thrown because he was like, no, but I'm not like that, but I am like that. And he couldn't figure out who he was for a moment, because I had clear evidence from his life in the recent past that he's someone who's able to get up on a chair and lead a group in song. But his whole, like, way he was describing himself, I said, can you give me some examples of when? And he went back to his bar mitzvah age, where he remembered himself feeling like very, like, not in the social group and like very awkward in the group because he just moved to school, and like, and he was holding on to a false belief, and it was actually holding him back in the present, but it wasn't relevant in the present. So it's important that these first two things of, like, when you like yourself most, when you like yourself least, are things which are relevant to the now, where it's things which are updated. You can get a truer picture of yourself. That's also true with 3 and 4. What are your five strongest positive traits and what are your five negative traits? Also the same idea. If you wish to work on yourself and build yourself, you have to have an awareness of yourself. All of, when I say traits, also you have to give examples. Examples of where that trait is expressed. This all has to be written out. You are sitting with a pen and paper in the next few days. This is the mitzvah of the day, of the week, between now and Yom Kippur. I recognize. So times when you like yourself are scenarios in which you feel happy with who you are. Times when you like yourself least are scenarios in which you don't like the way that you're behaving, the way you're interacting. Those are scenarios. And number 3 and 4 are traits that you can give a couple of examples of where you see expressed. Then we're becoming more focused. Number 5. Which specific negative trait causes you the most difficulties? Like, the goal of this page is to get you to think of a particular Kabbalah that you want to take on for Yom Narayim, for improvement, for the course of the year. So after we've thought in general, now we're thinking more specific. Which specific trait can you narrow it down to, do you feel causes you the most difficulties? And then we can try and look for what the root of it is. Number 6, are these negative traits based on, now these are just examples, you could find other things too, but there are different core roots from which the negativity may emanate from. It might be arrogance, it might be conceit and power, that's one general category. Or it might be inferiority or yeush, discouragement. Yeush, how do you say in English? Discouragement. To try and find, like, what's the underlying trait that's causing me to feel that negativity. Okay, then it was getting too depressing there for a minute, so then I switched topic. What are your ultimate goals in learning Torah? Right, now we're thinking more broader. Okay, I realize where I have fault. I realize where I need to work on. Now let me move out of that a minute and let me think of myself in the bigger picture. Where am I headed? What is my vision? What is my goal? Now you're being uplifted a little bit. You still have an awareness of the negativity. We're not forgetting it. But we're doing a little esteem building and pumping. So why did you come to yeshiva? What is your goal? What are you aiming for? What are you looking forward to? Now let's get more specific in that topic too. In what ways could you increase your quality of Torah knowledge? Now you're in yeshiva and you're aware you are doing well, Baruch Hashem, by putting yourself in an environment of Torah learning. But at the same time, I'm sure everyone's aware of, maybe Elul was a trial period for many of the ones just beginning, and even the Shana Bet and Gimels and Dalet. But still, you have an awareness that the next month is more of a long haul. And if this time was a time where you were testing your own boundaries, what I'm able to do, what is difficult for me, Chorazman is a time where you can say, okay, that's a time where I know that I want to take on an extra Seder, where I want to be more focused in the Seder, where I want to rearrange my schedule because I think there are things that I didn't realize were so important, and now I realize how important they are after having tested it out a little bit. So that's question number 8. In what ways could you increase the quality of Torah knowledge? Now, mindset, focus. Do you focus on what goes right in the day or what goes wrong? Also number 10, when you make a mistake or recognize a fault, do you berate yourself or view how to learn and grow from this? Those two questions are crucial, because like the question you were asking just now is, there's a mindset which leads a person to go into depression. And this avodah, for some people, is unhealthy. If you see yourself feeling that, like, why should I continue? Where am I ever going to come to? Like, it's worth stopping this, at least in the way that you're doing it now. Because if it can lead a person to more depression, then it's unhealthy for him. However, if these two questions, you can recognize you're either in a good place or you recognize it's worthwhile changing your perception, those questions are both focusing on being growth orientated. So if you notice a mistake or you recognize a fault, what's your natural go-to? Is your natural go-to, I'm worthless, I berate myself? Or is natural go-to, I can really learn from that? this is something which I want to change in myself. And then you have a different change of mindset. And also the question is, what are you focusing on? What's your natural thoughts at the end of the day? How you messed up today, or how, like, that was good, I accomplished those two things. Just to become aware of it, and then path for the growth. And then I went from Torah to Tefillah. How would you rate your level of concentration during prayer? So you could just do a 1 to 10, but it's much better if you do like a paragraph. Like, what do you do during davening? What actually happens to you? Where are your thoughts? What are you thinking about? Are you happy with that? And then a more growth-orientated one. What would enable you to daven with more concentration? That's thinking more positively. So we've spoken about Midas, we've spoken about Torah, and we've spoken about Tefillah. Now we're going back to Midas again, in more specific manner. In which situations do you tend to get angry or get annoyed? I'm sure everyone has a particular thing that triggers him. Some particular trait that you've seen other people, or a particular person, that is always a trigger for you. That normally, overall, you're quite content with who you are, you like yourself. But when you run into this person or this scenario, then that always really annoys you and you kind of lose your equilibrium. So what is that? And then contemplate yourself. Is that healthy for you? Is that causing you harm within your own inner world? Never mind them. Never mind them, but your own self. What harm is that causing you? The fact that you lose your equilibrium. 15, what's your motivation for doing good? Now, there's no right or wrong here. It's just to get an awareness of the level that you're at. There's a level of lishma, which is way beyond the average person. There's a level of you're doing it because you want others to recognize you. You want to get praise. There's a negative one where you just don't want to get in trouble. So there's no right or wrong. It's just a question of, like, just to be aware of where you're holding. What drives you? What motivates you to work with that currently? And then think of how to move up to the next stage. What do you get enthusiastic about? And what would you like to be more enthusiastic about? I think it's fair to say that there are areas within the Torah religious spectrum that do excite you. There's also areas outside of the religious Torah spectrum which also excite you. Just compare those two. Where do you get more excited? How would you like to take that energy that you already have, that you know exists in other areas, and then start shifting it towards Torah? What is it about that, whatever it is that most excites you? What is it, the core thing behind that, that does excite you? What is it about it? Is it the thrill? Is it adrenaline? Is it a feeling of a victory? Is it a feeling of proving yourself? What is it about within that world that causes you to feel? And then how can you then apply that within the world of Torah? And then we focus specifically on mitzvahs. List 5 mitzvah experiences in which you feel joy. And the goal here is that if a person is feeling, yeah, I feel excitement about all other areas, but they're not really in Torah, so then the next question is, okay, now think about mitzvahs that you do. When in your life have you fulfilled a mitzvah and felt you've enjoyed doing it? A sense of satisfaction, contentment, pleasure in doing the mitzvah. Reconnect to those times. That those times will be now your mindset of, I enjoy learning Torah, I enjoy fulfilling mitzvahs. You want to focus your shift and make it that way orientated. Now we're getting much more specific for assessing mitzvah. What changes in your personality, your behavior would you like to make? Now that could be pages and pages. And then you don't have to limit yourself. Maybe afterwards we'll get more focused in one area of actual change. But here, we're talking about the ratzon. We're talking about the ratzon, everything is open. Here this is the endless, if you could describe your ideal self, realistic with who you are. You, who you are right now, functioning at your highest level, your ideal self, write. Describe yourself in your daily schedule, describe yourself in your relationships with people. Just write freely, freely. Number 18 is just like your an open page, an essay. Write freely your ideal self. Then part of that, number 19, just using positive imagery. How would your life improve by making these changes? Go into not just who you would be different, but how all your interactions would be improved, how all your relationships would be improved, how your whole world would be a more idealistic world after having made those changes. And then finally, number 20 is, and this is very, very specific, choose one area from all those areas to make a tangible, measurable plan of how to change and improve. Okay, so that's an avoda which is now in your hands, tangible. It takes work. Anything valuable takes work. And sometimes we see something which is before us, which seems like a gem, a gift. This is what I've been looking for, about how to do self-improvement. But I just don't have the energy or the koach. It means I'm going to have to make changes in my life, and that's too much for me. At this moment, take on upon yourself a Kabbalah, that this is hard work, but it's something that I want. I have a resolution within myself that I wish to grow. I wish to become a better form of my current self. And it takes stamina. It takes willpower. But it's something which is important enough to me that I'm willing to put an effort for. You know, there are things which a person realizes are worth putting effort for. If you're going to buy a house, you realize that you're going to be meshabed yourself for 30 years to the bank to take out a mortgage. It's an important thing. It's a lot of money. Right? It's very, very important. If a person realizes there's some sickness which they have to have an operation for, they will spend and find however, raise however it is the money that their life depends on this. It's worthwhile putting in a lot of effort in order to make that physical change, in order for my life to continue. This is a key. I'm not saying dafka this, but the idea of a cheshbon nefesh is the key to a spiritual change. It's worth more than 30 years devoting yourself. It's worth more than raising all the money for the physical change. It doesn't have the same sense of panic and urgency, because you seem like you could continue your whole life without making this change. That kalpe shmaya, spiritually, this is more crucial than the first two examples that I gave. This is your spiritual life, this is your soul. And therefore, even if it seems like a work, and it is work, but it's within your power, it's within your power to make that change. Hold on to the page, not now, but I will get to it, bli neder. There's a Kabbalah that a person can make, which ends up lasting roughly until Ben Azmanim, the following day, right? Maybe until Sukkot if you're lucky. And often it happens just because people don't have clear guidelines of how to make Kabbalah in a way which is lasting. And the Kabbalah ends up just not following rules which design it for failure. So I put together a list. You can read them now, but hopefully we'll go through them in a more clear way. I put together a list of guidelines of how to make the Kabbalah a lasting, meaningful Kabbalah which will be transformative. And that, Bez Hashem, in our next opportunity, we'll sit together and go through the rules of that. Shavu Gemar Chatzimah Tovah.